Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. It's a beautiful day in Hawaii. We're going to have a little rain, a little wind. Sun's going to be out. You never know what you're going to get, so be ready for anything if you're going out on the golf course. Kamehameha Schools is looking for an operator for the volcano course on the Big Island. Really good news. It's 56 degrees there. Makalei has a 926. Poipu on Kauai a 910. Pearl Country Club is sold out. Bayview, 942, 1036. And the Wailea Blue Course has an 850, a 930, and a 110. Okay, breaking news before we get to our great guest, Jeff Shackelford, writer and publisher of Quadrilateral, News from the Majors, and Jim Nugent following. Of course, he's founder of Global Golf Post. And Dr. Jonathan Carlson, we're going to take on knees today. And John Hagen and Bob Winters, the sports psychologist and doctor. We'll be talking with all of these great people, but from Michelle Wee, okay? From Michelle Wee, she responded to a crude story told by the former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Michelle Wee West took to Twitter last night to express outrage over a story former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani told Steve Bannon's War Room podcast on Thursday. Apparently, Giuliani began, "Do you have time for a funny story?" He then proceeded to recount a round with the late Rush Limbaugh at a charity fundraiser 7 years ago in which the paparazzi were driving them crazy. Giuliani went on to suggest the photographers were actually in pursuit because of the putting stance their playing partner, Michelle Wee, who bends over all the way and her panties show. Michelle Wee responded with, "It is unsettling to hear of this highly inappropriate story shared on a podcast by a public figure referencing my panties whilst playing in a charity pro-am. What this person should have remembered from that day was the fact that I shot 64 and beat every male golfer in the field, leading our team to victory. I shudder to think that while he was smiling to my face and complimenting me on my game, objectifying me in the process and referencing my panties behind my back. What should be discussed," she went on to write, "is the elite kill level that women play at, not what we wear or look like. My putting stance 6 years ago was designed to improve my, that is my putting stance, yes, was designed to improve my putting. And I ended up winning the U.S. Open that year, not as an invitation to look up my skirt. And by the way, guys, there are no panties that you get to see when a woman bends over to putt. She's wearing shorts underneath that skirt. It's built in." We're going to come back right after this. Jeff Shackelford. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. Bayview Golf Course, the best value in golf in beautiful Kaneohe. Dr. Carlson's Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua. MD Restoration, floods, broken water pipes, 24/7 cleanup. And RCM Construction for concrete spalling repairs.
Let's bring in Jeff Shackelford, publisher, The Quadrilateral. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. Good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you. By the way, Jeff is loves books. I mean, he loves to write books. And from what I can discern, golf courses are his favorite part of the whole game. If you'd like to check him out, Grounds for Golf with illustration by Gil Hands is the most recent. Alistair McKenzie's Cypress Point Club, The Future of Golf, How Golf Lost Its Way and How to Get It Back. The Golf Age of, or the Golden Age, rather, of Golf Design, The Art of Golf Design, and we could go on, but are you working on another one?
Not right now, Danielle. Now, my focus has been on digital, technology. I love books, but I don't have the patience to deal with book publishers. And you turn in a book, and they sit on it for a year. And I got spoiled by self-publishing, and I just love the immediacy of what I'm doing now, what I've been doing with my blog for 20 years or so, and now with my little newsletter. It's just more rewarding. It's more interactive. At some point, I will get back to books, but I don't know. I just and there are a lot of people doing great stuff on golf courses, the things I used to write about. So I'm going to let them do those books, and I'm going to stick with my thing.
Excellent. And your thing this week was all about the Genesis Invitational in Los Angeles at the beautiful Riviera Country. I have a hard time calling it the Riv because it's such a gorgeous, yes, it's so beautiful. And playing like a major. Talk to us about, I mean, this golf course is showing us that depending on the course and the setup, you don't have to worry about the distance.
Maybe. We'll see. But, yeah, the point is that it has been a very dry winter here. And we have just normally our rain dance when this tournament comes to Los Angeles. It's almost a guarantee that it brings rain. But the tour comes here at our rainy time of year. But this year we have a La Nina. It's absolutely been stunning all week. It's heartbreaking in a way, of course, because this tournament has struggled sometimes with getting people out here, and this weather would have had huge crowds and people so excited to have some outdoor activity at beautiful Riviera. So the golf course is pristine, it's dry, and we now have a little breeze. It's kind of going a weird direction and forecasted to really pick up today. So the course was already dry, and it's going to get tougher, and this course is designed for a sea breeze, and the wind's going out towards the sea. So you all know with Kapalua how that can really, when a course is designed for a certain kind of wind, it can really make things tricky. When we have a lot of players here who know Riviera and know it well, and they're going to see some shots today that they're not used to seeing out here.
Yeah, and there's the challenge. I mean, look at the challenge. Justin Thomas, 8 over. Rory McIlroy, 7 over. Gary Woodland, 4 over. Bryson DeChambeau, 2 over. Sergio Garcia, 1 over. All of them not making the cut. While Sam Burns is leading by 5 strokes over, all tied for second, Tyler McCumber, Jason Kokrak, Dustin Johnson, and Joaquin Niemann. Sam Burns, interesting young man, AJGA, high school champion, collegiate champion, goes on to the professional level, has struggles a little bit, and now seems to be coming into his own. What are your thoughts on Sam?
Yeah, he's been a very, very good player, and I'm even reluctant to say that he's struggled. We just have gotten so spoiled by a few young players or maybe more young players than normal who just come out here and are ready to go. And it's just not the way the game works. And you know, golf, you peak in your 20s and 30s. And so we put a lot of pressure on the young players who we kind of get to know in college or amateur golf. And then they come out here, and Sam Burns was another in a long list of, supposed can't miss guys. Well, it still takes a few years to get acclimated. And this will be a huge week for him, whether he wins or not, to go out and tie the 36-hole record at Riviera and be so dominant. It's just so impressive to do that. But, 36 holes to go at Riviera. There's some wind, firm greens, major vibe, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, people like that lurking. I wouldn't rule out Brooks Koepka, by the way, too. He loves when it gets like this, which, that's another thing, Danielle, that a lot of young players aren't ready for, that you get to a certain level, you enjoy things kind of turning tougher and to be more of a grind. You know, Tom Watson used to talk about that a lot. And so a lot of the young players are a little bit spoiled. So when they get thrown into a situation like this, it's a great learning experience for them. And because the elite players ultimately like it when it gets tough like this.
Yeah, you talked about Jordan Spieth and his prediction that Genesis – this weekend will play like a major because of the wind?
Yeah, well, the greens have got a firmness to them, and you give these players soft conditions, and it just doesn't matter how long or difficult the course is, but you, what I wrote about last night, Spieth is just wonderful. As you know, he'll just give you, he just thinks differently than other players, and he shares what he's thinking. And he was wonderfully blunt about it. He'd already looked ahead. He knew the wind forecast for these 2 days. He knew how the course was playing. And he just talked about the nuance of how important it is out here because of the architecture and the design and the firmness that we're going to have, which we don't normally have, that it just puts so much pressure on where you miss the ball. And there's not even rough this year. And it's the beauty of Riviera that it doesn't need rough to reward the player who places it in certain spots. That's why Ben Hogan loved it here. He mentioned even Bubba Watson, Jordan did, you know, because Bubba's such a shot maker and knows how to kind of place his ball and has an artistic sort of approach and understanding and sensibility. And Dustin Johnson does too. People don't realize that. He's somebody who, yeah, instinctually he may not be, you know, the sharpest tool in the set, but he has golf instincts. And of course, like Riviera, he has just come to love. And when you give somebody a natural talent like him, who, again, he's not Ben Hogan when it comes to thinking his way around, but there is an instinctual element to Dustin that kind of knows where to miss it at Riviera and why he's probably, you know, just incredibly dangerous going into this weekend.
Yeah, so that's, you know, one of the quotes that you had is, it's one of those rare weeks, says Spieth, where you just can't get away with firing at the flagsticks.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's fun to watch. You know, we see so much golf, as Jordan said, 20 to 25 under, and it's a birdie shootout, and that can be fun. But, you know, we're getting close to the Masters, and that's kind of been, you see with my newsletter, my interest is covering the majors. And this is really going to tell us who is kind of on another level of sharpness. And I just, and as I'm looking out the window, by the way, Danielle, the wind is really picking up. So the forecasters have got it right. It's going to be, I just love that we get to see, we get to find out who has that little extra gear of that combination of brains and physical skill and kind of knowing how to get around a place like this. It's just more interesting to watch, and we don't get enough of it in golf because, you know, weather is tough to control. And this week we've got a perfect little positive storm of elements that should put on a good show this weekend.
Yeah, I gotta be the devil's advocate on Spieth just a little bit. Why are we so desperate for Jordan Spieth to get back to the top of his game? It's like we've got Brooks Koepka, we've got Dustin Johnson, and this golden boy moniker. What's this all about?
He's interesting to watch, Danielle. He's compelling. You feel like, I mean, there's a train wreck element sometimes with him. It's a Seve-like element where he's just plays these amazing recovery shots. He puts himself in trouble. He makes a lot of putts. He's yammering out there to himself, you know, and initially people didn't like that. But I always would say, well, it's Trevino did the same thing. He just had a stand-up comedian's gift to weave in humor, but he could be just as whiny and neurotic out there in his rambling to Herman Mitchell. So I think it's that he's compelling. There's a vibe around him that you're watching somebody, and then when you listen to him talk, he backs it up. There's something there that's just different that reminds you of certain great players. He's got little bits of some Seve, and he's got some Tom Watson. You know, there's just a little bit of everything that's fun. And I'm sorry, it's a tough thing to say, but the way the game is played now, where it's a power game, it tends to breed a less interesting golfer in terms of the shots they hit, in terms of the variety of people we see, and kind of in the way the energy they bring. And that's why Jordan has such an appeal, because he is not kind of a big lug who just bombs it out there and you know, acts like everything's just this is life in the city, and he's really passionate about what he does, and people pick up on that.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. Sometimes though, I can't help but think that all of that emoting that he does gets in the way of his success.
Well, sure, and that's why it's compelling to watch, because you're sitting there going, "Oh, stop! You've got to." And I've seen it where he wastes energy. But ultimately, we've seen him enough now, Danielle, to know that's just that's who he is. He's a better competitor when he's that way. He's not going to change. And he has plenty of energy, maybe too much so, but I think it's part, you know, it's the reason Trevino talked a lot. It's nervous energy, and it's a way to work that off. And I do understand your point, and I've been there with him, but watching him a little this week when his game is better, he's no different right now than he was when he was struggling a couple of years ago in terms of the post-shot analysis and the play-by-play. And I got to tell you, I just think it's fascinating. I would love to hear more of it. And we just, again, the way the game has kind of shifted, you know, with all due respect to a lot of the players out here, it breeds a more boring person and a more boring game to watch. So when somebody like Spieth's around, I think he gets even more attention, and there's even more desire to see what he'll do, because, you know, he's surrounded by a lot of people who, frankly, aren't as compelling.
Yeah, well, I understand. I don't like the, you know, just the bomb and putt kind of golf. I prefer a more savvy type of golf, and that's what we're kind of seeing this weekend at Riviera. Now, I think his caddy is a saint.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm amazed that sometimes he just doesn't punch him. Just go, oh, shut up, you know. But that's, he now knows the job. It's like Herman Mitchell with Trevino. It's in the job description. You just sit there and listen to him. And again, I'm a golf geek. I find it fascinating, and it is whiny. And there are people who don't like him because it sounds like he's whining. But I think most people have come around to it because they know it's more. Yeah, it could be a little whiny, but it's passion.
Yeah.
He's passionate about his job, and I think ultimately we love to watch people who are in love with what they do. And right now he's got it back. He talked to us about that. He's going to bed at night. He can't wait for the next day. And just to hear a player say that, you know, now they just have to be so macho and, oh, it's just, that's just, I got to go to the gym and hang out and, oh, blah, blah, blah. You're boring. So that's why we love Jordan.
Yes. It was nice to see him say, you were right, Michael. Well, it was, he chose, you know, he didn't go with what Michael suggested with one club choice, you know, and we just caught it on the mic that he said, you're right, Michael. That was like, oh, that's so nice. I know I like you.
That wasn't easy for him to do, I'm sure. He's pretty confident in his way of thinking around a golf course.
Yes, yes, yes. So what do you think about Tiger Woods? When do you think he's going to play next?
I think we'll see him at least once before the Masters. From what I'm hearing in terms of the procedure he had, and I hope we get to see him here tomorrow. He's the host. There are signs he may be flying in to give out the trophy, and we'll get to see him. But I understand he was up walking, what, the next day after the procedure. I just don't know how passionate he is about playing right now, and I don't think he really has been since that Masters win. There's just been a little something missing, like that was the goal. He got back, he got one more major, and something kind of left him in terms of the passion department. And, you know, we just have to remember he's at that age where in the past it was usually about 20 years that we would see players be able to do this and do it well, and he's hit that point in a lot of ways and given us maybe even more than we would have hoped in terms of coming back. And we just, you know, the career windows are getting shorter because of the money and injuries and the difficulty of staying out here with the equipment not making it easy to separate yourself. So I don't know what is going through his mind, but just observing him, it looks like that getting that Masters was just, it took a lot out of him, and it was something that since then it's been like, all right, I guess I'll show up here. You know, we have to understand these athletes have windows, and the fire just eventually does stops burning, and we're not, and you know, like Jordan Spieth, Tiger brought such passion to what he did.
Yep.
That he spoiled us. in a lot of ways in that sense. And we just have to remember that sometimes they hit a wall and say, I'd rather put my feet up on the coffee table and watch the kids grow up.
On privacy and just float away.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Nope.
But golf does also spoil us. In the past, we've had long career windows, longer than other athletes and other sports. And now that's shrinking a little, and it does have people a little bit, I think, surprised sometimes. You know, you see it with Ricky Fowler, the discussion with him. Well, Ricky Fowler probably has $100 million in the bank, if I had to guess. He's done way better than people realize with endorsements. So at some point, you just wonder if they can sustain the motivation to grind. Now, he did make the cut here in his first appearance here in a long time. So we're happy to see Ricky showing a little form. And he likes the wind as well, by the way. Maybe he'll have a great weekend.
Yes, we always love Ricky Fowler. It's like, Ricky is Ricky. You know, it's so good talking with you. I hope we'll talk again before our normal annual end of the year, which that would
absolutely.
That would be fun. Jeff Shackelford, find him at Jeff. I'm thinking of IG, Instagram. Jeff Shack on Instagram.
Yeah.
On
or Twitter.
Or Twitter. It's the same name. And then you can find his new newsletter, and it's Quadrilateral. Quadrilateral. We'll have to talk about how you came up with that name sometime.
Oh, it's a very easy one. The impregnable quadrilateral is what they described the Grand Slam, and I'm still covering the Grand Slam events. It's a different Grand Slam than when it was described that way by a New York sports writer talking about Bobby Jones. But that's the idea. Yeah, just Google Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, and golf, and you'll get my site and all that, all the various places to find me.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's great
talking
to you. And, great energy to all your family and friends. Thank you. Aloha.
All right. Thanks.
We're going to come back. We have to talk about the USGA, of course, because the USGA has a star arriving as its CEO. And we're going to be talking with Jim Nugent, founder of Global Golf Post, about Mike Wann after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson. I want you to claim your prize. The number is 808-545-1111, and you can win your choice. Poipu Bay Golf Course, two rounds, or a lesson, and it can be virtual, with the PGA Master Professional, Claude Brousseau, at Wailea. The number is 808-545-1111.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate that must have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates. It's easy to do. Email Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Jim Nugent is founder, publisher, Global Golf Post, the online golf magazine. It's free. Just provide your email address for delivery. There's also Global Golf Post Plus, in case you don't like commercials and all the stuff that goes with that. This is an extended writing experience. I mean, you really go deep when you get Global Golf Post Plus. Now, you just have to go to globalgolfpost.com and you'll be able to get whether you want the free one or you'd like to. It's a very nominal fee to get this really great writing. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jim Nugent.
Danielle, good morning, and thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. So, you know, when Mike Wan said he was leaving after we heard that someone was leaving as CEO of the USGA, I thought to myself, And then I thought, they've been talking since December. Now it all makes sense. The previous, his name just went right out of my mind. Just help me with that.
Mike Davis.
Thank you. You said Mike, and I went, Mike Davis. Okay. He wants to go into golf course design. Totally understand. He's ready for a change. Excellent, man. He's been with them since 1990. Mike Wan, he just seems to be perfect given the current kind of attitude toward the USGA. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a brilliant move by the USGA. First of all, I'm happy for Mike Davis. He spent the majority of his career at the USGA. He did great work there. But he's a relatively young man and has another chapter to write. And, you know, that's a job that has a sell-by date because it's a tough job. It's a wearing job. And so I'm thrilled that Mike is able to move on and as I said, write another chapter. The decision to have Mike Wan, the former commissioner of the LPGA, succeed Mike Davis is just simply brilliant. And really, golf stars were aligned in this because Mike Wan had made the decision to leave the LPGA in the middle of last year. He, too, is a young man that has another chapter to write. And when he made that decision, it wasn't Mike Davis's news hadn't come out. There was no job to be had. And so when that news did come out in November, when Mike Davis made his announcement, that got Mike Wan's attention. He was put in touch with Stu Francis at the USGA, and in a relatively short period of time, the deal came together to hire Mike Wan, and it's a brilliant, brilliant move by the USGA.
Now, Mike Wan will be only the 8th lead executive in the USGA's history. There have only been 8 guys. Is it traditionally a role that people take on until they retire?
It's been different. What's unusual about Mike's situation is, to the best of my knowledge, and no one has told me I'm wrong here, he's the first person to take the job coming from the outside. The previous 7 people have all spent some, or in most cases, much of their career coming from inside the hallways of the USGA. Mike is truly an outsider. And as such, I think he's going to bring a real breath of fresh air. I think he's going to take a hard look at things that, you know, they've always done because this is how we've always done it. And I think that the people in Far Hills are thrilled that there is this new breath of fresh air coming at them.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. This is the first time a former players tour leader, you know, has taken over at the top of the USGA, to the best of my knowledge. The first person from outside the organization, as you say, to take up the reins. Normally an inside promotion. Do you think the insiders will handle this well?
I think for the most part they will. If they're willing to give Mike Wann a chance, they're going to fall in love with him because everywhere he's gone, people have fallen in line and been extremely willing to be led by Mike Wann. He is collaborative. He incorporates the thinking of the entire organization. He's not someone that says it's my way or the highway. He runs a very inclusive operation where he's been, especially at the LPGA. So, yeah, if the people in the headquarters of the USGA come into this with an open mind, in a very short period of time, I think they're going to be persuaded that Mike Wann is the right man at the right time.
You know, and when you say collaborative, that's really important because when a lot of people were talking about Mike Wann leaving, he had been so collaborative within the LPGA that he knew that he had all these people who had learned how to interact, how to do these different things because they're all working together. It's not like he was in charge of everything and had secrets about how he did things. He brought everybody to the table. And so when that's through osmosis, you kind of learn how Mike did it. And consequently, you can go forward with that information that you've learned from him.
That's a sign of a great leader that instills confidence in the people that you lead and allows them to act with confidence that they're doing the right thing because they've been taught and led to do so. So I think bright days ahead for the United States Golf Association.
So Mike Wann has also been in marketing. He's also been on the equipment end of the golf business with TaylorMade, I believe, and others. So is this kind of a perfect marriage for him to come into the USGA as this distance issue comes up and a lot of negotiations will be going on with the equipment side of the industry?
By his own admission, Mike said that he has a lot to learn about the issues surrounding distance and the potential regulation of golf equipment, be it balls or clubs. It's a difficult issue. It's going to be an important issue that he does have to wrestle with. It's going to be at the top of his list for the next several years. But he said this week when he took the job, he has an awful lot to learn. It's not something that he had to wrestle with at the LPGA. And when I asked him what his position was on distance, he answered it like you or I would. Give me more, please, soon.
I have a hard time with give me more soon. I'm kind of on the fence about, you know, the whole length that we're going to. So we may not be in concert on that particular one. I prefer the guys having some challenges rather than being able to overshoot all the challenges and then just, you know, drive, pitch, and putt. You know, I think there's more to the game. And I have a hard time with the distance. Tell us why you're in favor of it.
Well, I get your point, Danielle, and it's a complicated issue, and I have, you know, different thoughts on it. But I'll share this one with you that's real time. It's happening now. The boys are playing at a wonderful, wonderful, old, very old golf course in Los Angeles, Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
Roy McIlroy is one of the longest hitters in the game today, and not far behind him is Justin Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they're doing this weekend?
Going home.
They're not playing golf at Riviera because they missed the cut.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, when the tour pros come to Hawaii in January and your conditions are perfect, they're going to shoot low numbers. That's a given. But 6, 8, 10 times a year, they're going to play golf courses like Riviera where they're asked to hit brilliant, precise golf shots. Not the longest golf shots by any means, just very, very precision shots. So I think it's as much about golf course architecture and what the golf course asks of these players as it is about how far they can hit the ball.
Okay. You know, I totally understand the charm of distance, the feeling of power that it instills in people, the awe that it instills. And I can watch the long drive guys do that and be amazed by what they're doing. And I just, you know, maybe I'm just old fashioned.
I'm old fashioned too, but I don't. What you're dealing with today is athletes. Tiger Woods started that when he came to the PGA Tour some 20 plus years ago. He was really the first athlete. And now you look at these players, you look at their athleticism.
Yes.
And it's remarkable. And I don't think they should be penalized by having the golf equipment regulated just because they've become real athletes. I think that you can set golf courses up to challenge these athletes.
Okay.
Rather than asking them to play different equipment than you and I.
Okay. Yes. Golf course setup is critical to put a balance, to protect the green, because after all, that's what it's all about, is not getting people on that green. That's what architecture is. Now, I still question, you know, some of the the equipment ideas that were created so long ago in the 90s, the big Bertha size heads for, you know, so old ladies could go to a charity event and not be bummed out that they could never hit the ball. And so now all these guys are using these gigantic heads. To me, that's, you know, yes, they're athletes now, but at the same time, the equipment has given them so much, made it so much easier for them to make contact. That's where I find myself sitting going, wait a second. You know, the heads the other guys were using years ago were so small by comparison. It's apples to oranges when we compare the distances from 40 years ago to the distances of today. And if they were using...
Fair point.
Yeah, you know, if they were using the coefficient of restitution that goes into the club-making process back then, well, hey. But they weren't athletes back then. You know, I mean, there are so many different things going on. So Mike will also be, Mike Wan, will also represent, of course, the USGA and all the boards, the national, the international boards, and they all sit down together and make decisions when the LPGA, the PGA Tour, PGA of America, Augusta National, when they all sit down, I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out there, USGA, RNA, everybody comes together to discuss. He really takes on a much more influential position when he's going to be sitting on those boards in those decision-making moments.
Well, Mike was influential in our game before he took this job, but he's become more influential by taking it. It is arguably one of the most visible, most important jobs in the game of golf. You have the USGA that oversees governance in the United States, and you have the RNA, which oversees governance in the rest of the world. So he and Martin Slumbers, arguably from the RNA, are you know, the two most important people in the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Not to diminish Jay Monahan at the PGA Tour or Augusta National or Keith Pelley at the European Tour, but, you know, the two governing organizations are in the lead position here. And so Mike is, you know, going to slip into that role, and I would observe that he will slip into it with ease.
Yes. Well, I'm thrilled that he's doing it. I'm absolutely thrilled because I think the USGA deserves a much kinder sort of attitude toward than it often gets when it makes rules changes, everybody's lambasting. And I think it's a great organization. Like all of our golf organizations, there are so many different facets to the question that's being brought up and discussed. Like what we were discussing just a moment ago, it's always fun to talk with you. Jim Nugent is founder and publisher of Global Golf Post, and you must be excited to see Sam Burns in the lead at the Genesis Invitational because he was a star, AJGA star, high school star.
There's no question. I had my eyes on Sam Burns this weekend. He's a star in the making. I think he's just been out there for probably less than 2 years trying to figure it all out. He's one of those guys. We all said this about David Duvall years and years ago. When he figures out how to win, watch out, because he might win a lot. Sam Burns has all the tools. He's got a great attitude. He's aggressive on the golf course. This could be a coming out party for one of the next future greats on the PGA Tour.
Awesome. Jim Nugent, founder and publisher, Global Golf Post. Thanks for being on the show.
Danielle, thanks for having us on. Cheers.
Cheers. All right. And you know what? I'd like you to win something. The number to call is 808-545-1111. 545-1111. You have a year to use it. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 2 rounds of golf. You can go to Maui, to Wailea, and get a lesson with PGA Master Professional Claude Brousseau, or you can do it virtually. Our last winner had a virtual lesson and got a whole lot out of it. And all you have to do is call. Be a winner. The ninth caller wins. 808-545-1111. We're coming up next with Dr. John Carlson, and we're going to be talking about, you know, we've been talking about the spine, Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic is his in Kailua. We're going to talk about knees, because a lot of people have knees problems. And knees, you just, until you lose them, you have no idea how important they are. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do falling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction 864-9520 now.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Want more customers? Renovating high-rises, whatever your trade. Fill your restaurants, buy your cars, use your realty company. Buy insurance, air condition their offices. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have quality listeners like yourself. We have ad packages that start at a few $100s. Email your contact info to rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers, too.
Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And congratulations, Rick. You are the winner of Poipu Bay Golf Course's choice and in Honolulu. And we'll be in touch with you about how we're going to send you those gift certificates. All right. We have Dr. Jonathan Carlson, founder of the Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic in beautiful Kailua, with us right now. And as I told you, we're going to talk about knees. Welcome into the clubhouse, John.
Thanks so much for having me, Danielle. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, the inspiration for the knee question comes for none other than Brooks Koepka, who just won the Phoenix the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And this is after, it was almost a year and a half of dealing with a knee problem twice. After he kind of got better, he slipped in Korea, damaged it again. And as he said, he had to have an injection in his hip. And it was scary. It could have been my ankle. It was going up the chain. And let's talk a little bit about what he meant by that, Dr. Jonathan Carlson.
Yes.
What did he mean by that?
So it's interesting. We kind of talked about this before with Tiger Woods. You know, it kind of really started with his knee. He didn't have the right conjugate flow, and there was an imbalance in his movement. And we talk to these super athletes with nuances. I think the challenge is just any disruption in that flow can start to cause injury. So Tiger Woods, it was his knee. He felt led into his back. I mean, Brooks Koepka, he talked about his wrist. And then, you know, your movement is calculated, and you have one thing that gets thrown off in that balance, you can start to have, if you will, a chain reaction. Now, it doesn't happen in everybody, but he also, I think, probably had a nagging injury that just started to get pushed over the edge with his wrist injury. And I think it really led, and people speculate this, but it really led, if you will, into what seems to be this torn patella tendon that he had in his left knee. And again, if you're not walking normally, you're not swinging, you have these really high velocity swings and movements, it seems like it started to affect his hip. But it really centered on his left patella tendon, and the key was it seemed like there was a partial tear there. And so he was able to get treatment with a cortisone injection in his hip and treatment in his wrist. But really what was interesting was he did regenerative medicine with a PRP, platelet-rich plasma injection, and then also stem cell injections, which helps. But I got to be careful, though. One of the things he said over and over, and you read about this, and again, I don't, just like Tiger Woods, I don't know these guys personally, but you read about their injuries. One of the biggest things is that he did a lot of therapy. I mean, it was exciting to see him just win the Phoenix Open. I mean, he had two-time Player of the Year award. He had the lowest stroke average in the PGA last year, I believe. I mean, this guy's a super athlete, but I think it really came down to that it was a lot of hard work. I think it's important for me to note that you don't just get a stem cell injection and magically grow cells and you're going to have this torn patella tendon be new, or you get platelet-rich plasma and you get injected and all of a sudden it's going to be new. It took a lot of rehab and a lot of discipline. So I think it's important that you have to do those things hand in hand.
So there's no magic pill that's going to fix that, other than hard work, which requires you to get up and move that knee, whether or not it hurts. If that's what the therapist says, you've got to work it to get it better, then that's what you got to do.
Yes, and I think it's so important. It was a partial tear. So if you have a full thickness tear, you're probably talking more in the lines of talking to an orthopedic surgeon. Sometimes these partial tears can be rehabbed, and just with physical therapy alone, or maybe a steroid injection. But what kind of kickstarts the system, if you will, and just kind of people a lot of times will ask me, well, what's the difference, Dr. Carlson, between a PRP injection and stem cell? What's better? I hear one's better than another. Really, I think it's just different ways to promote healing and growth within the system. Platelet-rich plasma, as you can imagine, comes from the blood. You take the patient's blood, and I harvest the blood, and I spin that down. And it allows these platelets, which generally help, as we think about it, for blood clotting. Well, they're growth factors. They're acute phase reactants. They promote these power cells, and they generate healing and new health tissues. They decrease inflammation and allow growth to take place. Where stem cells, they can come from the adipose tissue of your body, or you can, and that's called an autograft, or you can have an allograft, which comes from, actually, believe it or not, amnio. From delivered babies, and not from the babies themselves, but the amniotic fluid. And they have these basically foundation cells, if you will. And these cells differentiate into bone, into ligament, into tendon. And so this kind of kickstarts the proper growth of these areas of injury. A lot of people get enchanted by stem cells. You have to be careful, because there's a lot of people peddling stem cells is an end-all, cure-all. So you really got to make sure you have the right doctor. I feel they should be board certified and well-trained in what they do. I feel that's often pain management physicians or orthopedic surgeons. Others can do it, so I don't want to take away. Everyone has, as we know in Hawaii, their kulianas or their role. But it's important to really understand that, like you said earlier, that this is going to promote growth. It's not going to make something brand new from nothing. So if you have a full tear, you probably need to talk to a surgeon, although there are some that have recovered from full tears. It just depends on how your body's responding to the different treatments that go on. So I know that's a lot of information, but I think it's just important to understand there's a difference between stem cell and PRP. They're both in the category of regenerative medicine, but this is just part of this of the process. And for Brooks Koepka, it was really, we're really glad that it worked out for him. Obviously, he's doing really well now.
Yeah, because he's had all of them, stem cell, platelet-rich plasma injections, the PRP, that cortisone shot in his hip. He said he was in a tremendous amount of pain. And if it hadn't worked, he was looking at surgery. So it was a nine-month recovery, you know, if he was going to have to go through the surgery process. It was a longer recovery period without the surgery because of the re-injury in Korea when he slipped and retore it, and the kneecap was moving. Oh, all of this sounds absolutely terrible. He was in a really dark place where he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't feel like he'd ever be the athlete that he is again. It's really hard, and that all is part of going through this recovery procedure. Do you do the platelet-rich plasma injections?
I do. I do the platelet-rich plasma injections. I actually do stem cell injections. A lot of this is important to know. There's some doctors that are doing this in the spine. It's important to know with platelet-rich plasma and stem cells that we don't have as much research as we like. Although recently, I think it's important to know that there is some research that's come out for injection within the discs through a company called Viadisc, and I'm not a consultant for them, or I'm not a paid consultant, anything like that. But they've just come out with what was called the VAST study, V-A-S-T. And that's actually been really exciting because it's a randomized controlled trial. That's really kind of the best type of study we call level one evidence. And they're actually seeing great results in these patients. So for the first time in a long time, we have one of maybe one or two studies that we actually can see results within the spine. But we have to be careful. I think we think of PRP, we think of stem cell. A lot of times it's going to be better for tendons or ligaments that are going to have issues, either stretching the tendon ligament, maybe there's a partial tear. Maybe it can be injected in the joint, these medications. We do that, but I think it really has to be a team effort. This thought of just, man, I'm going to go and see Dr. Carlson, get my PRP injection, I'll be brand new. I think you're going to be really missing the mark if you don't understand that. You got to do this. We'll do this injection in you, but you really have to do the rehab. You have to be religiously consistent. And I always tell my patients, I treat some professional athletes as well, that people don't plan to fail. They often fail to plan. And so it really comes down to, look, we're not looking in this quick microwave, get fixed quick type of thing. It's, you have to, and we're used to that kind of this fast food culture in America. We're used to things getting done quickly. Well, these types of injuries, you've talked about 9 months with Brooks Koepka of doing what he did. I bet you he put in several hours, probably 4 or 5 days a week, if not more, really paying attention to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, there's the other parts of his body that he can't let go. I mean, you know, the strength, upper body strength and keeping the core. And then you've got the knee rehab going on. He's got professional trainers to help him do all of that. The bottom line is, if you've got a pain in your knee, if you've got an issue with your knee and you're limping, the problem is you're going to, you know, you're going to hurt another part of yourself. Maybe it's going to be the hip, as Brooks Koepka said, you know, maybe it's going to be your ankle. You just never know. But then you've got more than one problem. So the best thing is to go see your doctor, talk to your doctor, you know, get a referral. Dr. Jonathan Carlson is double board certified. He is the founder of Hawaii Pain and Spine. It's right here, Kailua Town, really nice people there. And you should really go and see him. This is where the Aloha Spirit meets innovation and patient care. So they hope to treat every chronic pain patient as if they were Ohana. You need to go see them. The number is 808, of course, 452-1379. You can call from a neighbor island. Just leave a message. They'll get back to you. I'm sure something can be worked out for you to come over and see Dr. Jonathan Carlson. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate the time and opportunity, Danielle. And yes, we do telemedicine for Neighbor Island. There's even patients that have lined up with me from the mainland. One thing I want to mention, maybe we can do this at another time, but there's a whole host of other things with knee pain that we didn't touch, and that's degenerative knees, arthritic knees, knees that maybe don't have tendon or ligament tears, but they have just good old-fashioned arthritis setting in, often leading to knee replacements. And that's a whole population of patients, often our senior patients, that I can address, and even patients that have already had knee replacements, partial or full knee replacements, that we can actually do things for in our clinic, whether it's nerve burns or maybe even types of nerve stimulation. And that's a whole other conversation, but I don't want to leave those patients out. So, you know, talking about Brooks Koepka, yes, he had the tendon ligament issue, but tendon issue, but there are other patients with the good old-fashioned arthritis, bone on bone, knee replacements, things like that we can talk about another time.
Let's do that next month. We meet once a month with Dr. Jonathan Carlson inside the clubhouse, and CEO and founder of Hawaii Pain and Spine. And the number is 808-452-1379. And we'll address the good old arthritis problems next month, which most of us, of course, at some point in our lives will experience. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Aloha. We're going to come back and look a little bit back on the AT&T Pro-Am, all the charity funds that are raised. And, of course, John Peter Hagan, he's over at beautiful Pebble Beach all the time. Imagine having that view. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
John Peter Hagan, author, Play Away Please, at the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box. He's working on a trilogy starring Pebble Beach. And we'll bring him into the clubhouse right now. Welcome in. Are you there? Have we lost you? a real estate developer, architect, member of Hazeltine, an apartment in Paris, a few rounds under his belt at the Le Golf National, of course, where the Ryder Cup was played. We seem to be having difficulty listening to, we're just double-checking our connection here. He's done projects around the world, and of course that mission to save the box that was going to be destroyed at St. Andrews, and he brought it back to the States in 2001. He was right there when Daniel Berger and Jonathan, Jordan Spieth, they both came out of the same college class too, you know, very interesting. And so Daniel Berger, Jordan Spieth showing so much form, so much recovery. But, you know, Daniel Berger was beat by Jordan, and you just knew that there was a part of him that just simply wanted to win. So let's bring him in. John Peter Hagan, welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How was being at Pebble Beach? Not many spectators, to put it mildly, but a great, great tournament.
Well, it was very interesting, Danielle, and it was almost more entertaining than having a pro-am and having all the spectators around. I'm sure there are people, including the winner, who would love to have had a couple of 100,000 people seeing a double eagle on 18 to win. But the tournament committee, for the first time ever, was really able to set the golf course up on Saturday and Sunday in a manner that they do for major tournaments like the U.S. Open in terms of pin positions. So they didn't have to respect the lack of ability, if you will, of the pro-am contestants, and they could make the course a little more intimidating, shall we say, including going back to a tee that hasn't been used in over 40 years,
wow,
which added all kinds of excitement to the proceedings. But it was a good tournament. The issue, of course, as it is in Hawaii, Scottsdale here, San Antonio, and the other places that raise enormous sums of money for the local charities, that was void. Last year, for instance, the tournament returned $12 million to local charities, mostly to kids and underprivileged. And this year, there was just a drop in the bucket. You know, this tournament by itself, since 1947, has turned over $176 million back to the Monterey Peninsula for various for various charities. And put it in the context that the PGA Tour itself every year contributes more money to local economies than Major League Baseball, the NFL, and the NBA combined.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and what's been great to see is some of the sponsors, like Sony or Century, they have made it their mission to step up because of the fewer charitable dollars being raised. They have given more to charities because they knew.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Did AT&T do anything like that?
Yep, same thing. And the other thing that causes people to really show up, turn these into family events, you know, Scottsdale is a different breed of cat entirely, but all the money doesn't float off into the universe and you never know where it's going to go. It stays in the communities, and that's really important, and that really is wonderful public relations for the big companies, the IBMs, and who now have taken over the tournament, the old Bob Hope and others. But they're to be congratulated for that manner of putting money back into the economy.
I want to bring up an article that you sent to me the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic. And I know that, you know, we if you look back to 1918, they were all wearing masks and they closed schools and they shuttered businesses and they social distanced and they did so many things just to make sure that this thing that they didn't even know what it was, this flu that we know exactly what it was, this virus, was killing. At that time, it was 675,000 Americans, you know, some 50 million worldwide. But the presidential exercise, President Wilson made it a mission for people to get out and get their exercise by playing golf.
That's right. And he was playing golf every day, go play nine holes or whatever, you know. But that was part of living life then, even though golf was a much more elitist game than it certainly is today, which is good. But he had the foresight to understand what golf could do for family unity, could do for health, and it's showing its face right now because of the virus we have here. The golf courses are packed. I heard you giving tea times this morning that are available on the five islands over there, and there aren't many openings, are there?
Yeah. Well, some are sold out, some aren't, and then we have the resort courses, and they're having a real difficult time because, of course, they're designed for all the visitors that come to Hawaii, and they're not coming to Hawaii. So our unemployment rate is, 10%, so it's been really tough. But I just love the fact that President Wilson was like a hacker. He averaged about 115 on 18 holes. Baseball grip, short backswing, wicked slice. he played nine holes on the weekdays, 18 on Saturdays, and 36 on Sunday. And it didn't matter that he wasn't really, really terrific. How was it watching Daniel Berger and Jordan Spieth? I mean, these two guys... Spieth beat Berger, I think it was, in a playoff, and then Daniel Berger came back and beat Spieth. It must have felt like a perfect moment for him.
Well, it was funny. Spieth wears his life on his sleeve, and he's a real Damon Runyon character, which golf hasn't seen in a long time. You can probably point to Lee Trevino as a person that was similar, and that's their way of unbridling themselves from the pressure of being out there on the golf course, which is fine. And it's very entertaining, and everybody can relate to it, as opposed to somebody walking down a fairway who's 6'4", and he's shooting 68, and you don't know who he is. He's a magnet.
He is a magnet. John Peter Hagan, author, Play Away, Please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon. Looking forward to seeing what comes out from your trilogy, the first one, Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, the novel. We'll have to talk again soon. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back and talk to Dr. Bob Winters. You can find him at drbobwinters.com. Internationally known, a sports psychologist, author, speaker, mental conditioning coach, how do you overcome the darkness of recovery from something like Brooks Koepka went through? And, does it help or does it hurt Spieth when he is so vocal on the golf course? We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Golf Club tip number 25. Play for fun. Life's too short. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
What do spalling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stop the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction 864-9520 now.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Dr. Bob Winters. Find him at drbobwinters.com. Internationally known sports psychologist, author, speaker, mental conditioning coach. His major academic areas, confidence, performance, enhancement, counseling, education, research. Yes, sports performance enhancement and business performance enhancement. Dr. Bob, welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, you're making me tired just going through my credits. I'll tell you. Yeah, thank you. No, aloha, good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, I was talking about Brooks Koepka not too long ago. Yes. With Dr. Carlson, who is a pain specialist, and he does wonders about treatments for that. But what Koepka said is that he was in a really dark place. He didn't want to talk to anyone, maybe his girlfriend, about any of it. And I thought to myself, how do people turn to you for assistance, like these great athletes who are having problems recovering from injury and not feeling like they'll ever be themselves again?
Oh, absolutely. I've dealt, with many athletes, NBA players, National Hockey League players, this fear of injury, about what you're going through. And they have different fears. They have the fear, not only will my rehab work, but will you fix me? Will I ever be as good as I once was? Think about having a great car, and you love this car. It's got a great motor, and you crack it up, or something goes wrong, and you have a fender bender, and you try to get it right, and you try to get the motor right, and you ask yourself, will it ever run again the way it did before? So we have to understand, hey, you have had, perhaps a career-threatening injury, or you have a season-ending injury. Okay, now you're on the surgeons or the athletic trainer's table. You aren't performing. So you do go to a dark place, and that's exactly really what Brooks and almost every athlete who has ever, participated at a high level, you go through peaks and valleys of feeling great, and then you're hurt, and you ask yourself, do I play through the pain, or do I actually take some time off? And that's sort of a psychological and emotional juggle fest, if you will. But I think, Brooks, and I've known Brooks for a long time because I had a chance to work with him as a junior golfer, as a aspiring amateur, collegiate player at Florida State, and then in his early tour days. I understand what he's saying, because he said it takes a lot of effort to get out of those dark places, because you're working so hard to get yourself healthy again. But then when you keep having these relapses, which he did with his knee and his hip, and he had a lot of different platelet-rich plasma cell
you know, what we call medication. He did a lot of things, but he wasn't getting any better. So he was really just, you know, am I ever going to get out of this abyss? And he was even trying to mask it. I mean, even you listen to some of his interviews about a year ago, he was saying, well, I really haven't let on how bad it is. And he was even talking, even as much as last year, well, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'll work my way through it. But now, after his win at the Waste Management, I think he's able to practice longer. He can actually do the things that he wants to do. And let's face it, Danielle, when people have their body, it's their career. When you have this type of an injury, you go through almost a death, sort of process.
Yes.
That Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she talked about, on death and dying. And it was, you go through five different stages. First, there's the denial stage. I can't believe it. No, I'm really not hurt. It's not that bad. And then when you realize that, there's the anger. You become very angry. Why did this happen to me? I did everything, right. I'm not supposed to be hurt like this. Then there is sort of this bargaining. Okay, if it isn't that bad, maybe I can live with it. Maybe I can play around it. Then when that doesn't work, you go into this depression and this discouragement and this self-isolation phase. And that's really where that dark, place where Brooks Koepka and so many professional and even collegiate athletes go through. And then finally you have the acceptance. Okay, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to buck up, go through the surgery, and go through the rehab. But I love what Brooks has done because he has actually said, you know what? I put in the work. I've actually listened to my trainers. I've gone, to my coaches, Butch Harmon, Pete Cowan, and his trainer. I mean, he did a great job, with him. Obviously, he's been going to the people there at Joey D for a long time. And he's got, his trainer, his physical trainer there at La Jolla. And they did a lot of work. And he even goes on to say, this past week, I don't think I could have done it without them because they gave me a lot of motivation. And to go through this alone, this is why people, call me up. They need me to sort of talk them off of the edge of the rooftop. And you'd be surprised at how often this happens, Danielle.
I actually, given the height of which these athletes are performing at this time in history, I'm not surprised. Because, I mean, we haven't heard in the game of golf about injuries. 10 years ago, it started. You started, and Jason Day is a perfect example. He thought he was going to have to retire. He's got a different mindset after Pebble Beach. He was talking about how he wants to get back to number one. That was a complete turnaround from where he was. So I can see how, right now with so much competition going on, that people really would need to turn to you for some help in talking it out and getting some reassurance. Jordan Spieth, he seems to be, he's all about emoting on the golf course. And people always say you need to stay like Dustin Johnson, just like not let anything affect you. Just keep yourself kind of in a flat zone. Just always steady. Jordan is anything but always steady.
Well, yeah, Jordan Spieth is the human roller coaster of golfers. And I think a lot of amateur golfers really identify with him. He's such a good young man, comes from a great family, and he is a very, very good person. But when he emotes as much as he does, a lot of time he comes off as sort of complaining, as sort of whiny. And, Michael Greller, his caddy, who is the rudder on this ship, Michael Greller deserves every dollar that he actually earns because he does a great job of sort of being what we call the second self. You have the player and the caddy. And Michael, does a great job of focusing him, directing his attention, allowing him to vent a little bit, and then getting him refocused back on the task. And the reason that Jordan is playing so well right now is that golf is, cyclical. We have peaks and we have valleys. And when his putting and when his wedge play, really hasn't been there, and which has seen him, plummet from the world golf rankings down to very, very low, he really, you know, hasn't been there. And then you start, you know, having these questions. And then because of the social media and all the exposure that a Jordan Spieth has, people always come up to him and go, what's wrong? What's going on with you? What's happening? You used to be the very best putter. Now, you deal with that. I mean, and talk about that 100 times a day. That does create, you know, a lot of doubt, a lot of worry. And so he's actually, you know, been working with his coach, Cam McCormick, and he actually even asked, you know, Butch Harmon, you know, just take a look, you know, what Cam and I are working on. And Butch said, hey, you know, it looks good. And so he got himself a little sense of reassurance there. But nothing, and Danielle, and you know this, nothing creates confidence like having some modicum of success. In these last 2 to 3 weeks, he's building momentum, he's building success, but he's also seeing the fruits of his labor. Over the last couple of years, he's been retooling his swing, been working, putting in thousands and thousands of reps, because really, you know, quite honestly, he was probably putting in thousands of reps, probably making some incorrect movements and ingraining them in his motor schema, meaning his brain had this blueprint of incorrect movement, so he was always making compensations. That's why he has a great short game, because he was always in trouble so much. But when he's now hitting fairways and hitting greens, and by virtue of that, I mean, it's the ultimate acid test. I mean, his short game is great. Once again, you can see the confidence. And that's the whole thing about confidence. It's the absence of doubt. It's the absence of worry. And when you can step up and you not only just think and act and believe, but you know that the ball is going down the fairway, you know the ball is going to the target, and you know on the putting green that the ball has a great chance of going into the hole, you almost become fearless. And that's why people love the feeling of confidence, because it isn't that you just believe in your talent. It's that you feel bulletproof. You know, nothing can go wrong. And if things go wrong, you just simply say, eh, no big deal. I can handle it. Let's move on.
Can you teach us how to not worry and, I mean, and have confidence?
That's why they call me the confidence doctor. I've trademarked that internationally. And yes, you know, confidence is a learned skill. You can become, you know, more competent and confident, but you just can't simply tell yourself, oh, I need to start being confident. What you need to do is actually develop some mastery tools to help you become competent. You know, for instance, I was listening to one of your guests, you know, before saying that Jordan has sort of this very volatile, very expressive personality, much like Lee Trevino. And Lee Trevino was really one of the very best at maintaining and keeping his confidence high. When Lee and his caddy, Herman Mitchell, his great caddy on the bag, Lee would come up to a shot, Danielle, and he'd be looking at, you know, the ball. And he'd say, Herman, he goes, that is a bad lie. That is such a bad lie. But only one person in the world can make this shot, and that's me, Lee Buck Trevino. And Herman would go, that's right, boss. That's right. And the point of it is, that is an ego-enhancing strategy. And then, even if he missed the shot, he said, I'll tell you what, Herman. He goes, hey, I guess I must be human. He goes, you know, because nobody could hit that shot. God couldn't have even hit that shot. And that now is an ego-protecting strategy. Now, Lee Trevino really didn't know that, these sports psychology terms, but he was always doing something to keep his confidence and his positive golf momentum up. He was never, ever going to actually get down on himself, and he was always using his self-talk and his visualization and his self-mannerisms to keep him in a very purposeful, positive, and productive mode of playing golf. And that's why Lee Trevino is in the Hall of Fame as one of the very best golfers ever, because he knew, you know, the critical value of having that 6-inch fairway filled to the brim with confidence.
That's wonderful. Wonderful story. Dr. Bob Winters, you can find Dr. Bob Winters, Dr. Bob, at drbobwinters.com. And you can watch and listen to Dr. Bob live or on demand at drbobwinters.com. You can also buy his book. It's called Mistake-Free Golf. Now, is this for golfers of all levels?
Golfers of all levels. And what I did for many years, I interviewed the best of the best and the most emotionally challenged golfers in the world, Danielle, about, you know, what were the most common mental mistakes. And it went from everyone from Michelle Wie to Greg Norman to Justin Rose. It went to everyone. And I think, you know, on the website, you gave me the nice picture of myself with my hero, the king, Arnold Palmer. Mm-hmm. And when I went into Arnold's office and I wanted to give him a copy of my book signed to him because I loved him like he was my godfather, he said, well, I've already got one right here.
Wow.
And then he finally, and he looked at me and he goes, let me ask you, Bob. He goes, what is the greatest mental mistake now that I've got you here? And I looked at Arnie and I looked him dead in the eye, Danielle, and I said, well, Arnie, the biggest mental mistake I can think of is not buying this book. And he looked at me and he gave me one of those Arnold Palmer thumbs up. He goes, yeah, that's a really good answer right there. But so what I talk about, you know, doubting yourself. And then the second, you know, biggest mistake that most golfers and all of our listeners can just do this one thing. They will improve their golf immensely for 2021. And that is you never, ever hit a shot when you're not ready to execute successfully. So many players step into the ball and they're not ready. They know they're not ready. They know they don't have the right club, but they go ahead and they hit the anyway shot. I'll just go ahead and hit it. I'll hit it anyway. It's the hit and hope shot. And the anyway shot goes anywhere. So the one thing we can do is just back off and just get ourselves, what do I want to do here? Versus, oh, I don't want to do this, don't want to do that. Here's what I want to do. So if I can get, you know, a player to step in and say, this is what I'm going to do right now with purposeful intent, it's amazing how that little white ball always finds the target.
Wow. You are amazing. The book is Mistake-Free Golf. Applies to golfers of all levels. How to specifically correct mental errors. And you can find that book at drbobwinters.com. Dr. Bob Winters, Dr. Bob, internationally known sports psychologist, author and speaker, mental conditioning coach. Thank you for being on the show. It's always so much fun. You have to be back sooner. Okay?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you, you know, Danielle. And listen, make every day out there a yay day.
A yay.
Because that's a yay day. That's a golf day. Because every day for me is a yay.
Yay.
It's a yay day.
A yay day.
Thanks so much for having me on. All right.
Aloha. Okay. Want to thank our wonderful sponsors, Sioux Electric. Welcome into the clubhouse. It's so good having you as a sponsor. Sioux Electric kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping, commercial centers, city and state projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Sioux delivers. COVID compliant. Call 842-1944, 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Sioux Electric lights the way. Aloha Power Equipment, the moving sale continues until the store's empty. It's as simple as that. We put power at your fingertips for everything you need, including the Honda mower. Save $50 on the mower. Get your $200 extended warranty free, plus 50% off on the delivery charge. That's Aloha Power Equipment. Hawaii Pain and Spine, Dr. Jonathan Carlson. Yeah, what's worse than living with constant pain? Nothing, frankly. But not doing anything about it is even worse. So call Hawaii Pain and Spine, 452-1379, 808-452-1379. Dr. Carlson has a way of getting people back on the course. Flood and fire disasters. Call MD Restoration. You really ought to have this number someplace where no matter what, you'll just walk to it, like the fridge. 528-3434. 528-3434. 24/7 emergency disaster restoration service, COVID compliant, mold remediation, flood, fire, dirty water cleanup, carpet, upholstery, cleaning, licensed contractor to boot. That's MD Restoration, 528-3434. Beautiful Kaneohe Bay, Bayview Golf Course. You got to see the view from Bayview. Oahu's best value in golf, double deck driving range, range with a top tracer at each station, and a rejuvenated golf course. And RCM Construction, 30-year leader in Spalling repairs across Hawaii. Yes, make sure that you don't get even worse with your Spalling problems. Give them a call. The number is 864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. I'm Danielle Tucker. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.